All right, we are recording our work session. Put the recorder right next to this bowl of M&Ms.
Lots of crunching and munching going.
So, I apologize in advance.
Yes.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
For cooking.
You're welcome.
Sugar and caffeine.
No, you made a pot of coffee, right?
Yes, there's coffee. There is coffee.
So, would you like a cup of coffee?
No, I'm good.
Yes.
I move we have these munchies covered.
You're in charge of policy.
Exactly, till that bowl's empty. All right, let's get rolling.
Well, let me start by saying this is something I've never done before. I've never actually sat down with a board and talked about boardsmanship and roles and responsibilities with a board that I was about to start working with. That's just never happened to me before. As I said to some of you when I talked to you individually about this interim position, I was always one of those superintendents that said to the board, you'll never have to wonder what I think. I'll always tell you what I think about every issue. If I don't know, I'll very quickly figure it out, and I'll always fall off the fence one way or the other. And so I'm used to telling people what I think about things, and this feels a little bit funny because it's like we haven't really had a chance to get to know each other, but I'll probably sound very opinionated, because I am, and I don't know where I'm going with that, except that it's an unusual experience for me. So it'll probably also be for you. I doubt that you've ever had something similar to that. How many of you have had some sort of orientation with board roles and responsibilities? So probably what I will offer to you in some ways will be nothing new. Although I think if you've read it all, the essential book, there's some different views there. And now I don't know whether those views fit with Marysville or not, because I don't know Marysville. And I think some of the basics about boardsmanship and roles and responsibilities are pretty. They're pretty comfortable across the lines of various researchers, of various people's opinions. I thought this one just began to head in a little bit different direction, but I think a really important one for today's school boards, and that was that whole idea of shared leadership, mm-hmm. of you're not just overseeing, and you're not just overseeing, if you will, the work of the superintendent and the treasurer, because they're the two people you hire, but you're also really intending in today's world, the way the board is set and the circumstances you find yourselves operating in, there is need for you to provide also some leadership and to share that with the superintendent and or the treasurer. The difficulty with that more newer approach, if you will, is that you have to be very careful to keep reminding each other what you did earlier about, let's be careful we're not micromanaging, that we're not stepping into areas that really we actually pay somebody else to do. And I think that's part of the struggle you probably come up with, but we'll talk about
it. I think the struggle of that is more, you know, setting the goals and letting somebody else, setting the goals and then allowing somebody else to do those.
Mm-hmm. Well, as they said, figuring out the right amount of data that you need back so that you can do your oversight, right?
Right.
I mean, because micromanaging isn't just, I mean, stepping away, because you want to know how things are going and know what's being done, that's not micromanaging. It's micromanaging when you start to get into and start influencing you know, trying to direct the operational side of thing. We're asking for too low of a level of detail, I think.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't think scrutinizing is in fact micromanaging. I think that's your job. I think it's your job as the, because all of the people that write at all about boards and superintendents and treasurer positions, all of them talk about the responsibility of overseeing, of really overseeing the whole district and seeing what the district's doing. Now you can do that, I think you do that best through just scrutinizing. And scrutinizing, I think, again, is best done by questioning. You just ask questions. In many cases, the more the better. And I think most superintendents are confident enough people and treasurers that they believe if my recommendations are strong enough, if my recommendations are based on solid enough logic and experience or whatever, and knowledge about the field and about the district, if they are, those things if they're sound enough, they'll stand up to your scrutiny.
Well, one of the things
the scrutiny of the majority. If I ever brought you a recommendation as a superintendent, I would expect that I would have had it thought out well enough, our team would have developed it enough, we would have enough solid logic that it would in fact convince a majority of you we really need to head that way. And I would submit to you that if it doesn't convince a majority of you that we ought to do that, then I probably should rethink the recommendation. Because if it's on sound enough ground, it'll convince a majority, typically, unless you're all crazy.
And the one day.
No, I'm just teasing. I want you to look at the left page, the left section. I've got a little bit of the first page is a little bit of an agenda sheet. Mm-hmm. Got the Educational Service Center. Just very quickly, I hope as you look at this, I want to walk through it with you. You don't need anything more about my background, but the one thing I wanted to say to you was I really think it's important for boards, superintendents, and treasurers to, in fact, try to mold themselves into a governance team. I'm not naive enough. I know that boards can be successful all by themselves. Superintendents can be successful by themselves. Treasurers can be successful by themselves. But I would submit to you that you can all be more successful if you merge yourselves into a really cohesive governance team for the district. And you'll have successes that go beyond anything that all of you individually could in fact achieve. And so I think it's really important to keep thinking about how do we keep molding that team? How do we make ourselves a cohesive kind of unit? And cohesive doesn't have to mean that you always agree on stuff. Cohesive can mean that we really push back on each other. We push each other on things. But we all also keep focusing back ultimately on our commonalities, on what we have in common. And some of the purposes that I got, particularly from Jeff, for this session, are listed there on that at the top of that page. The purposes for this work session, I think they are to review the various roles of the district's governance team, really talking a little bit more in depth about what's your work and what isn't your work. Then also spending some time talking about how effective boards operate, what do they look like, if you will, and how do they continue to get better at what they do. Even the ones that are already considered to be very successful and considered to be very effective, how do they keep on top of that? How do they keep that kind of excellence going? And then number three was just some additional kinds of topics that I've heard and or imagined that maybe would be of concern for you, either tonight yet, if you want to be here till 2:30 in the morning, or some other time if you wanted to do that too. And there are all kinds of people that do this kind of work, that help boards look at these kinds of things. And for some of them, you really want somebody that will help give you some knowledge and will tell you, here's some things that maybe you hadn't thought of. But for others of these things, you really want to just pull together your own knowledge. Like, there's one in there on mutual expectations on communication. Well, you don't need somebody that has all kinds of knowledge about communication with school boards, superintendents, treasurers, but you might need somebody that could help facilitate your discussion of what is it that we really want. What do we expect from the superintendent? What does he expect from us, she expect from us, and the same with treasurers and so on. Is that, listening to the purposes, is that close to what you were thinking we were going to do in the next 4 hours? All right, one hour.
Just so you're listening, right?
I don't want you dozing.
I think it's a good place to start.
Okay.
I do as well. But mm-hmm. you know, I think, again, as you and I have talked about before, I think, you know, one of the things we would like to get out of you while you are our interim is to work with the board to help us become a better, a more effective board, a more cohesive governing body with our administration. And I think at the end of that, we would like to be moving much closer to being, I don't know what they called it in here, highly effective, whatever, they've used mm-hmm. it a couple, but that's really kind of where, and I know we've all had that discussion, I think that's really where we want to go. And I noticed a lot of times in the book, you know, it talked about, and I don't remember which school board they were talking about in there, but, you know, they were kind of in disarray, and we're not to say we're in disarray, I'm just using, but they used to, you know, they used their superintendent in that same way. You know, look, their new superintendent came in, and kind of sat down and helped them, you know, build that cohesive team. And I think that's kind of what we're looking to you for, a little bit of that guidance. We'll provide our own input, I'm sure, but
yeah, I think I can help, and I can help facilitate, you know, your putting in.
Right.
One of the most important things is that next section, the assumptions, those commonalities. Like I make assumptions about all of us here that I'd be willing to bet money on that I know are true. That I'll bet you everybody around this table wants Marysville schools to be successful and to just keep getting better. We're already really great. We're mm-hmm. very proud of who we are, what we've done. Our history is a fabulous history, but we also want to keep building on it. We want to keep getting better with it. Mm-hmm. Just like the old total quality management with incremental, mm-hmm. slow, progressive, regular improvement. That's what we want to do. We all want to see the superintendent, treasurer, and board succeed. I know those are truths. We believe that the governance team can have a positive effect on the achievement of the district. Some of you have already experienced it. Some of you are coming in and are going to experience that. I make a guess about board members because I happen to think that most of the people that run for boards are doers, and typically they're also problem solvers. And that's a good thing and that's a bad thing. The good thing is, you know, they're really active, go-getting kind of people. The bad thing is you're not sitting in a problem-solving mm-hmm. chair anymore.
Right.
And that's
frustrating.
It's like,
yes.
Ooh, what do I do? But I really want to dive in and mm-hmm. solve this thing. Well, right. You're in a position now where you're setting overall policy, you're watching other people, you're holding other people accountable, but you're not solving the problem. That's different, mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what it's like for you. I never did it. It would drive me crazy, probably, because I'm one of those people like you guys are. I like to, well, there's the problem here. We got to get going. That's what you're doing. And then finally, that last one, I hope, and this one's more of a hope because I don't know everybody well enough. I hope everybody is always seeking consensus, but also recognizes that the majority really has the authority, that as individual board members, you just don't have any authority. And that can be sort of like a slap in the face with some people because they think, well, wait a minute, the community elected me, they only elected five people. you know, I've got some authority. Not really. Not until you sit down together and you all say you want something. At least a majority of you say you want something. I would submit to you that none of you individually are Larry's boss. You just aren't. And so you can't be pushing him to do something because you're not his boss. I would also submit that all five of you are. So it's that strange kind of setting. But you are the boss when you're all together and when you act together. That's when you have your authority. Because as soon as the majority speaks, that's the authority. And I think that can, boards sometimes struggle with that, but I think when they just get that into the back of their head, it really helps, because it also helps with how you are with each other. It's okay if one of you doesn't agree, but the way you're able to govern is you have a majority, and that's what allows you the ability to govern. The whole system was set up that way. It wasn't accidental that there are five of you. That was so you can't tie. You know, it just wasn't. And it was also because they knew, the people, when they wrote the statute, they knew that these communities that you're going to represent, only five people get voted in from the community. And the community that you represent is so diverse. They had to understand that we could bring any five people in here, give them a series of issues to deal with, and we'd be lucky if 60-70% of the time all five of them agreed how they ought to proceed, because it's just so diverse. And it really would be true if five other people came in, mm-hmm. other than you five, too. And I think it helps sometimes to just remember, yeah, I was elected, and I might have even been elected by a specific group of people who think like I do. But I think you got to keep remembering, you were also elected to come in here and to get all the information and take all the information and do what's best for this school system. Now, that may not be best for you personally. That may not be best for the constituents you think elected you. But you're here to do that. And I think that's another one of the things that's really hard for board members. You know, the whole community sits outside those windows and they look in the windows and it all looks so easy. They look and they think, well, why the hell don't they just do this? Excuse my language. It's so simple. I don't understand why they don't do that. And it's because they don't completely understand all of the ramifications, all of the information. You come inside this room, you hear all of that, and then you have to weigh the thing. And then you not only hear all the information, which the rest of the community doesn't, but you also wear something that none of the rest of them wear. You wear the responsibility. If something goes wrong, if decisions are made and they don't work for this community, nobody's going to point a finger at those people out there looking in the window. They're going to point fingers at you. You wear the responsibility. And all of that just makes it a lot harder than it appears from outside. So I have a lot of respect for all of you, just because you ran and got elected. Now, I'm not sure that you're the brightest people in the world.
Because you ran and got elected,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think you should have thought this through a little bit more. No, I think you are. And the work agenda is, as you see it, and I want to just jump right into it because I know you guys want to get home. Introduction, governance team, the governance team matters. That's the first sheet behind on the left side again. And I wanted to point this out to you. This is I used this page off of a working paper from back in 2006, and I'm still using it, even though this has actually become a book now. This really is a book by Marzano and Walters, or Waters. And it's called School District Leadership That Works. In its original working paper form, it was this way, and they really broadened it to mean more than just what it says here. The reason I wanted to use this instead of the book with you was because it's got in just the two pages, it's got really the information that I think is important for you to zero in on what they found with their study. And basically what they found was they did a meta-analysis of 27 different studies that have taken place since 1970. They involved over 2,800 school districts and over 3 million students. And that analysis of research, and I'll say right up front, some people that really do a lot of research don't always respect meta-analysis as much as they do straight research projects. And the reason is because meta-analysis is you take all these 27 and they're all related studies, and you, through your analysis of the whole, you come to make some conclusions that maybe none of them individually made when they did the research to begin with. So it's, some people really even question that kind of analysis, but a lot of people do it in a lot of fields, not just education, but it's done in a lot of fields. So, but I'd give you that sort of that caveat as we go into it. But they made some findings that I think are just really important for you to remember when you're talking about being on a board and improving as a board. Number one, district level leadership matters. They really saw a significant correlation between the district leadership and student achievement. And that's something that nobody had really come to a strong conclusion about for years. Those of us that worked in district leadership, school board members, superintendents, we were pretty certain that we were having a good positive effect on achievement, but nobody really did any actual research to say, yeah, it appears that there really is a direct correlation between certain behaviors by the leadership people and student achievement in a district. And Waters and Marzano did conclude that. So I thought that was important. Number two, the second finding is that effective superintendents focus their efforts on creating goal-oriented districts. And what they've done in the book is they've broadened these, some of these statements where they say superintendent, they've broadened them to mean district leadership, which includes, in their minds, the superintendent, the treasurer, the administrative leadership of the district, and the school board. Because all of them have a part to play in it, and all of them have a part to play in the success. But what I wanted you to see was that they see there are five different things that are typically part of and identified with effective leadership at a district level. And one of them is that there's collaborative goal setting, that you really do set goals, and you do that by central office people, administrators, school board members, and staff. And they all have something to do with it. Second,
does that mean they all sit down together and work on them? Or are they the same goals that they're working on, or they're different?
No, it just means like you can have a planning session with your board, with your administrators, and even some teacher leaders, a small group, and have a planning session with them and come up with here's some three or four or five goals that we think are really important for us for this next school year that we want the district to be part of and we want everybody involved in. And so that's like almost the rough draft. And then you can very quickly share that with your staffs at each of your buildings. And you can get staff input on that. And are there any suggestions or changes before we finalize this? And then you can pull it back and have your smaller group finalize again too. And still have a pretty good sense that we've got really pretty good buy-in from a majority of our people. Because that's what you want to have. And after you set those though, you also go to number two of setting some non-negotiable goals. And those are particularly in achievement and instruction. And the districts in where district leadership makes a difference, they do this. They really, and I'm sure Marysville, because I've seen from your success, I'm sure you have some regular achievement goals every year that you want to get better at, probably in each of your buildings, certainly at your district level too. Even though you're excellent with distinction, I'm sure you're still trying to notch it up. You're still trying to look and be a little bit more specific. Our AP scores aren't where we want them to be. Our AP, the percentage of students taking AP courses isn't as high as it ought to be. And we want to get that up. I was once asked by two high school principals at Olentangy, well, we've really increased the percentage of students taking AP courses. Now we need to know from you what's more important, lifting the percentage of students that are going to take AP courses or lifting the percentage of students that score high on the AP exams? And you know, of course, what the answer was. We want both. We're not ready. We're not ready to choose yet. It's only the most outstanding school systems around that are ready to make that choice. You don't have to make that choice. We didn't have to make it. Olentangy still doesn't have to make that choice. You know, I'm guessing you guys don't have to make that choice. So those are the kinds of things you could have for achievement, for instruction. You could have agreement on the part. Many, in fact, I would bet most of your teachers today really accept, because they've done a lot of reading about it, they've done a lot of studying about it, really accept the great value of formative assessment, of assessment along the way. Before, you don't wait until the end of the year to find out that Bill didn't get it, you know, way back here. You do all kinds of informal and formal formative assessment. Well, a lot of districts are putting that in, talking with their staffs about that, and then are saying, okay, that's one of our non-negotiable goals. Jeff doesn't get to decide that he won't have formative assessment in his classroom, because we've all agreed we're doing this because we know the value of this. That's the kind of thing that you do when you have that kind of a non-negotiable goal. Here's where the board, number three, comes in, particularly in aligning and supporting the district goals, in making sure that we stay focused on the goals and making sure that we have the resources to accomplish those goals, and making sure that those resources aren't being pulled away for other issues that aren't as important as improving the academic achievement of the children of this school system. Because that's, you guys above all, as well as the administrators, have got to always understand the mission of school districts is really quite simple. The mission is, we teach so that students learn, period. That's all we should care about. Now, we have all kinds of other things we have to care about. We have to care about whether they're coming to school with food, energy to do, whether they're staying up all night. You know, of course we do, because it affects our teaching and our learning. That's why. And in our society, we have to care about extracurriculars and sports and everything else. And we embrace that very strongly because we know there's some wonderful teaching and learning that takes place there that can't even take place in the classroom. And so we think we've got it even better than places like Europe, where they do all that stuff within community centers. They don't do it in schools. The schools just worry about academic learning. Well, we try to do both, and we believe we can do both and do a good job of both. So we try to do that. But again, the board really has to get involved to know the goals, but also to know, okay, what are we doing with resources to make sure these are happening? And then number four, monitoring goals for achievement and instruction. That's typically the responsibility of the superintendent and the administration to make sure that a real monitoring is taking place. We not only said we'd do these goals, but we're actually implementing them. We're actually making them happen. And the board has a role there too, because again, as the overseer, you're the one that should be expecting your superintendent to regularly report on the progress that's being made. And you're the ones that should be regularly saying, but didn't we say we were going to try to get to this point? And didn't we say we were going to have all of our staff doing this? Now you're telling us that only about half are. What are we going to do about that? I mean, that, you know, you have a direct role in all of that too. The use of resources and the support to support achievement and instruction goals, that the superintendent really firsthand does that, but I would submit to you, so does the board. The board needs to be aware, where are we spending our money? You should be spending 80% of your money on your staff, because you have a business that you're heading up here that's a people-intense business, you know, because it's service. When you provide service, you have to have people. And usually in service businesses, the biggest expenses are the people. That so, yeah, I've had a lot of business leaders say to me, well, you guys are so high with salaries and benefits and your people costs. They're like 80%. A lot of businesses are nowhere near that. Well, yeah, right. But they're not service businesses, and they're not people-oriented businesses where the services are granted by that. So there's reasons why we look differently sometimes. And then finally, the finding that superintendent tenure is positively correlated. I think you guys have a good example of that right here. You had Larry, and you had Larry for a long time, and Larry knows what he's doing, and he was a highly skilled professional superintendent. It doesn't matter whether people all liked him or agreed with him on stuff, but he knows what he's doing. He's just an excellent professional. My first look at his work was the 8 pages of the
transition plan,
the transition stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very thorough, very complete. You know, listing who's the go-to person to be able to follow this. Mm-hmm. I thought he just did an excellent job with that. So, I think that's what you're looking for in your next superintendent. You're looking for somebody that's going to come in, embrace Marysville, and then maybe be able to be here for 10, 15 years. I hope that's also what you're looking for in your board members, because I don't know if anybody's done a study on it, but I'm convinced that the really best boards and school districts have a series of people that have been on the board at least 2 terms and sometimes 3 and 4 terms. And I don't mean just old people like me that should be moving out. I mean people that are really fully involved and into the thing, but are learning very quickly in the first year or two what it all takes to do this and to do this well, and then are using that knowledge for the next 5, 6, 7 years for the district's good. So I think you really do encourage longevity. At least I hope you do. Roles and responsibilities. I want to jump to that quick. I didn't make a sheet for treasurers. It wasn't that I was leaving Cindy out. It was just that the treasurer's work, I think, is really pretty straightforward. It's pretty definitive. Usually, she'll correct me, I'm sure. Usually, boards don't interfere with it. Superintendents don't usually interfere with it, but they team with it, and they do some of that. But the work itself is pretty straightforward. There's a lot of statute around how it has to be done, what has to be done, and even when some of it has to be done. So I didn't go there. I listed the 2 separate sheets for superintendent and board because it seems to me from experience that if there's not only overlap, but if there's trespassing, that's where it usually takes place. And so I thought that was where we probably ought to start. And this is the roles sheets. I created these so that you could lay them side by side. The role of the superintendent of schools and then the role of the board. And they're sort of adapted from a book that I use in my course at OSU by Smoley. He's a researcher who researched effective boards. And he developed an effective board model of what he considers to be the 6 things that effective school boards do and that they're good at. And we'll look at that in just a minute if we have time. The roles are sort of a modification from his book, but also my two cents thrown into it. And what I wanted to ask you to do, I was going to ask you to, before we even looked at those, to just tell me, and maybe you can just off the top of your head, if you had to name the primary role or the primary responsibility for all three of those positions, a superintendent, a treasurer, and a school board member, what would you say their primary roles are?
School board is for policy,
right,
to create policy for the district.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, certainly the treasurer is the CFO.
Right.
You know, I mean, it
mm-hmm.
clearly runs the finance, the budgetary items, and that, you know, that's, and I think that role is probably as close to the private sector as, and I think those are almost, they're fairly interchangeable, I would think. Would you agree
would
with
you
that?
Think that too?
I don't know if they're as close to, but yeah.
Probably closer than the other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm
yeah.
saying of
yeah.
all those roles, that's probably
yeah.
the one that's as,
right.
as close
yeah.
To the private
mm-hmm.
sector.
Yeah.
And then
anybody else?
I think that all the roles are to oversee the district. You know what I mean? As an overall, you know, the board oversees the superintendent and the treasurer, and they do their.
Why does specifically the board oversee the treasurer and the superintendent?
Because the superintendent oversees all the rest of the things. I mean, we kind of oversee
the policy.
We're kind of like the top of the umbrella, I guess, or something, you know, and then the superintendent deals with each building.
Mm-hmm.
But the board just looks at the superintendent, looks for input from the superintendent, and gives directives to the superintendent or tries to work with them to.
Right. I always thought it was more, you know, the school board was there to lay out the policy, to lay out the, you know, the roadmap, and you're really expecting your superintendent to drive the path that
mm-hmm.
you know that you've worked together to set out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the map makers. He's the map.
I mean,
yeah,
she
said it's the what
yeah.
and the how.
Yeah.
What and the how. And
that's
really
doing
that's
the what
really
and they're doing how it's going
right.
to how
mm-hmm.
it's going to get done.
Exactly.
Even though it's never that clear cut.
Right.
It's always sort of, there's an intertwining in there in some of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the danger, if you will, comes, that you got to keep talking to each other because it might not always work the way that you intended it to. The other reason, though, that the board supervises, if you will, the superintendent and the treasurer is because those are the only two people the board hires directly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The board selects those people. The board doesn't really select anybody else, typically.
Right.
Usually you're acting on recommendations from someone else. You're not usually acting on a recommendation for a superintendent. You're picking. You know, when you do that this next spring, you five
right.
are going to pick that person.
Yeah.
That's what's going to come to. And the same when you pick your treasurer. Now, maybe you're going to have your treasurer involved in, because you're going to want the treasurer to look at these people, and you're going to want to hear, you know, when I was at New Albany during the interim and they were doing their selecting, they got down to three or four people, and they started bringing them in to really talk to different groups of people. Well, one of the people they wanted them each to talk to alone was the treasurer. And then the board wanted specifically to hear, what did the treasurer think of each one of them? Because that was good information that you know, this is one of the primary people the person's going to have to work with.
Did the board also have, like, the district administrators, the school principals and things like that, meet with the...
Yeah.
Since that was going to be their boss.
They had a couple of big committee...
Okay.
Groups
that they
involved.
Some teachers.
But the board really, the way they chose to do it with their search firm was they narrowed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And they narrowed it down to, I forget what, three or four, I think. And then they brought three or four in. Was it three or four or just two? It might have been just the final two
mm-hmm.
that they brought in and had a group of administrators, teachers,
mm-hmm.
and support staff that talked with them.
Mm-hmm.
They had some parent group talk to them. They
mm-hmm.
talked to them,
mm-hmm.
and then they individually had the treasurer talk to each of them
mm-hmm.
when they did it. But you can do that all kinds of different ways. I don't know what you did last time.
We didn't quite get that far. But we had it all laid out, just like that, though.
Well, let's skip to the primary roles the way Smoley described them and or I added to them. Primary role of the superintendent is to administer the policies of the board and to be responsible for the development, the supervision, the operation of the school programs and facilities. Now, of course, the superintendent can't do all that. That's why they have all these other people that help make that all happen. But look at the primary roles of the board. Establish the policies. We had that. But don't forget, one of your roles, I think, is very definitely to provide oversight. Mm-hmm. And part of the way, as I said before, that you do that is you do that by scrutinizing. And don't ever apologize for that. What I've seen happen with boards is whenever I was new at a district, I would always encourage the board, your job is to scrutinize recommendations, so you need to be asking questions. They can be asked of me privately, and if I satisfy you, fine, then you're fine. You don't have to ask all the questions in public, but a lot of times I would say to board members after they'd asked me questions in private and I'd give them the answers, and they'd say, oh, okay, that makes sense to me. I'd say, you know, that's a great question to ask in public. Because one of the things that you're trying to do and I'm trying to do as a superintendent, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to inspire confidence from the community. Well, if the community watches us and we don't inspire confidence, one of the worst things I think that can happen is for major decisions to come before you and to be made that night. You know, I would hope you're in the practice, I'm sure you are because you're sound enough school system, where your major decisions are being made over a couple of business meetings, where you're talking about these things and then you're coming back again. One time is just to discuss. The second time is, okay, we're going to make a decision, but we're going to discuss again. Because one of the things that I am confident inspires confidence of the community is to see the board be deliberative, to see you actually talking about things. And the trouble with that is the real onus falls on the board president, because the board president has to, you know, you can have meetings that go till 12:30 at night. I've seen boards do that. That shouldn't happen. But at the same time, there should be enough time to talk about and let the community see you be deliberative, especially on the big stuff and or the emotional stuff. And so I think you just have to make sure that you provide for time to do that. We'll talk a little bit more about oversight, too, in a minute. Now I want you to just sort of arrange these so that number two... Or number three, I guess it is. I don't know where it is now. You can see some of these roles are almost the same. But I want you to see the difference. See under superintendent, number one, provide strong leadership for the district. There's nothing necessarily like that under the board. That's just a general kind of a statement. But number two, guide the overall direction of the school system. That's also on the school boards. Guide the overall direction of the school system. And on the school boards, it says that's the mission, the vision, the improvement plans, the policy. All of that's the overall direction of the district. But it's spoken of in more general terms on the board. Look at how it's spoken of on the superintendent. That's it's leading the board through the whatever the processes are for developing a mission, for developing a vision, for developing improvement plans, for revising policy and stuff. That the superintendent really provides the professional leadership for that. And one of the reasons why you do that, you don't do that just because the superintendent knows so much, because maybe the person doesn't. But part of the reason you do that is really very simplistic. Out of the five of you, plus the superintendent and the treasurer, that's seven of you, there's only two of them that are full-time. There's only two of them that actually do this all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And you guys, as involved as you will get and are, it only is a certain amount of time that you can give to it, because you have your life, you have your work that you have to do too. And so you rely on treasurer and superintendent in part because they're your full-time people. We're the part-time people, if you will. And I think that's really important. Number three, the assist with the selection of the superintendent treasurer under the superintendent. The superintendent always wants to be involved when you're picking a treasurer, if you want them to be. The treasurer, I think, always wants to be involved when you're picking a superintendent, if the board wants you to be. They probably won't beg you, but they'll appreciate they'll appreciate if you ask them to participate in it and be part of it. Yeah. You know. Number four, screen and support improvements. Notice that for the superintendent, because that comes up as number three on the board, screen and support improvements, the superintendent is to stimulate, to develop, to plan, to supervise, and to report. You know, all the real work, the doing is right there with the superintendent. But the broader terms of the programs and the operations, you ought to also be making sure that you're making sure that the superintendent is reporting what is going on in these areas. I thought your question earlier about that, about the technology, about, you know, it's hard to know what's going on if nobody's telling us what's going on. And so it doesn't hurt to have some regular kinds of communication about what is happening so that you're aware of that, so that you don't feel like, as you said, Doug, you're drinking through a fire hose.
No,
you don't. So you don't have that. Number five, though, for the superintendent, connect with the community, is probably the one, it's number four on the board's list, it's probably the one area that is part of both, but is most like both, because you both have almost similar responsibilities there of communicating, reflecting, promoting, creating means for the community involvement. And again, I would suggest to you, and they're almost exactly the same kinds of words, I would suggest to you that the reason you're doing that, the reason you're involving the community, the reason you're really trying to promote the community is because you want to, your bottom line is we want to inspire confidence. I went into a district and looked at some of their procedures, and the way they were hiring, they would say they needed to hire six people in their five-year forecast for next year, and then next year would come and they'd hire 20 people. And they thought nothing of this, and this had happened for a couple of times in this particular district. And I said to them, I said, you know, If you put this process of yours out to your community and set it out there for all of them to see, it would not inspire confidence. They would shake their head and they would say, my gosh, you guys don't know what you're doing. And so you have to make sure that everything inside is being done in a way that does in fact inspire confidence. I think that's the bottom word, because if you can inspire confidence in the community, they're going to start feeling like they own these schools, and when they feel like they own these schools, they're going to take care of these schools, because these are our schools. And you've done a lot of the inspiring of confidence in Marysville, because that's why you have such good records of support from the community too. So you've got a good history of that. You need to keep building on it. Number six, ensure accountability. Again, The superintendent's doing the hard lifting, establish assessments, processes, goals, and reporting, but the board is also making sure that in your minds, through your scrutiny, you're remembering to talk about programs, about fiscal, about legal, about staff, and some real accountability. remember too, though, that you're holding the people you're holding most accountable are the superintendent and the treasurer, because they're the people that report directly to you. They're really the only people that report directly to you, and they're the people that the only people you directly hired. And then number seven, oversee the planning and deployment of resources. And for school board members, I would suggest there's a seven for you that is a little different. The meetings that you have open discussions, that you have policy, that you have oversight, and that you have community involvement. Any questions about those roles? I know they're not exactly the same as what you've seen in some of the other trainings you've done, but they should be related to that. Should be related, particularly on the upper level of day-to-day operation as the superintendent, oversight and policy setting as board.
I think sometimes, at least in my experience, you know, we have these two sheets divided, but there's a gray area right there when you overlap these two sheets, and I think that's where sometimes we as board members seem to, it's hard to tell when you're in that gray area whether you're too far, you know, over the line or not. You know, I may be asking for something. I'm not even sure a good example. I'll tell you a good example would be that's current. We're going to hire a new football coach. I'll just use that as an example because that's actually current with our mm-hmm. community. All right. Now we know that it's a responsibility of our administration to hire a football coach, to interview him and whatnot. But as board members, I'm positive that some of us are getting some of the, you know, a little bit of feedback from our community about, you know, this is what you should be doing. I mean, I've certainly got it. I promise you, people to the right of me have gotten it as well. So as an example of that, you know, you want to make sure that you're fulfilling, you know, your commitment to your constituents that says, hey, you know, I hear what you're saying, but you want to do it in a way that you're not directly telling your superintendent or your AD or whoever, you know, kind of who you should be hiring specifically or stuff like that. And so maybe kind of talk through that situation a little bit.
Well, I think those kinds of information, those kinds of situations are, wouldn't you say, typical?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just for the hiring a coach, but
no,
for all kinds of
example.
Yeah,
yeah,
all
absolutely.
Kinds of things where
right.
people are tapping you on the shoulder in the grocery store or wherever and are just sort of sharing with you what they think. A lot of times that's really valuable information for the school district. You know, it's almost like local intelligence gathering. You know, you're getting some real feedback. And I think it's important to be passing that kind of feedback, if you will, on. Now, it's also important, though, to keep remembering. You know, I used to have board members say to me, Bill, we have got to do something with this issue. People are going crazy. I got 10 phone calls about that. Now, 10 phone calls at home is a lot of phone calls for any of us, don't you think?
I would agree.
You would think it was. I would think that was a lot of phone calls to get. But I also kept always trying to remind board members, all right, but put it into perspective. You've heard from 10 people who feel really strong about this issue. That means that there's probably about 4,700 you haven't heard from. You know, and so it's okay to say, wow, people are going crazy. Yeah, those 10 people are going crazy. They are. But there's a lot of people that we haven't even heard from. We don't have a clue. And all of them are in the same boat. They're on the outside looking in, and they don't know everything. You do, hopefully, through your scrutinizing. That's how you make those better
decisions.
Doesn't
that go back to like what you're saying about kind of inspiring confidence in the community? And I mean, so if you got 10 people, you probably, there for every one person that picks up the phone to call you, there's probably 10 other out there that feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, it's the board's judgment to say, hey, listen, you know, we're sensitive to the, and I would imagine the superintendent as well, that we want our community to be confident that we are going about this the right way. So going back to the football coach thing, is, you know, we just want to make sure the board's point is, you know, we don't want to micromanage how we do it, but we want to make sure that whatever process we do gives the community confidence that we're approaching this with their input and whatever we think is necessary to give them confidence mm-hmm. that we're going about it the right way.
I would guess, you see, again, I've never sat in your chairs, But I guess you guys have to do what superintendents ultimately have to do. After they sit down on the chair for the first time, they all of a sudden discover that on some of these issues, no matter what I do, somebody's bugged about it.
Yeah.
Somebody's angry about it.
Yeah,
somebody thinks I'm
happy.
Stupid. So right. And I think what you have to do is also do the same kind of thing. I've got to weigh these things, and I've got to take that into consideration because 10 people talk to me about this, so I really do want to consider that. But I still have to consider everything else, and I still ultimately have to do what I think is best for this school system. Now, maybe it'll be what these 10 people want, or maybe it won't be.
I think it goes back to what you were saying with scrutinizing the superintendent. We do that through asking questions. So when these 10 people ask us questions, but we don't feel confident with the answers we have, that I think at that point, they have legitimate questions that, we should be able to kind of bring to the table and say, hey, listen, are we doing this in the right way? Are we, kind of go back to the superintendent and say, are we approaching this in the right way? And without, judging, without any egos in the way, but just, hey, this is something we want to make sure we handle in the proper way.
Well, and
I'm not talking about the football coach here.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm not.
It's a good example. Yeah.
I think it's a great example.
So if you do get a bunch of people making comments, if they're all the same comment, I guess in my mind, I'm thinking that as a school board member, it's our responsibility to share that mm-hmm. information, not to say because I've heard this, you guys better do this, but more, these are the kinds of things I'm hearing from the community.
Yeah, man, I would want to hear that.
Yeah. Take that.
I'd want to hear what you're hearing. There's 5 of you. You could be hearing from 50 people if that was happening to both of you.
You should be. I mean,
that's a lot. You know. Mm-hmm. So you do want to hear from them.
Right.
Yeah, but I think you still always have to come back to that issue of no matter what I do here,
right.
somebody's not going to be pleased. Right. And so I'm going to take the information in as information, but I'm going to put it next to all the other information that I have and all the other logic that we have and the reasons why we're doing what we're doing, and then come to the conclusion, then come to the decision. This sheet is just for fun, and how much time do we have?
We got as much time as you want, pal.
Well,
I'm not an LSU or an Alabama fan, so...
yeah, but I want to watch it. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
I don't know. After that game last night, I was worn out.
Because of Brooklyn.
The Giants.
One of the things that I had found kind of interesting that I've been reading through was this Accredula which published by Bricker and Eckler.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got kind of little, Doug is the one who had sent me this link first. And they've just got a lot of short little pieces of information about directors, boards, duties, management. And it's nice and short so that it's easy to understand in the way they put it out. Like when you keep talking about the scrutiny, one was the most important function of directors is to ask questions. And then it goes on to explaining how to ask the questions. Perhaps you're not asking the right questions and this is what you're looking for more at, as opposed to a different type of question. So I think
their stuff is good.
It's very good.
I think they have really
it
good
is very
stuff.
Good. And that's they're just so nice and short. It's just here, they just lay it out with really good examples that are kind of easy to follow.
I've had administrators say to me, Bill, how can you stand it that the board just keeps asking questions all of a sudden? And I have to say to them, well, that's partly because I encourage them to do that, because I think that's their role. I think they're supposed to scrutinize things. And I said, the thing is, you got to look at it this way. Those are 5 people, probably out of this community. They're 5 of our strongest supporters. They're 5 people who are giving their time to make this school district as good as it can possibly be. And so they really have the welfare of the district in their heart. That really matters to them. Now, if my recommendation don't stand up to the scrutiny of the majority. It's only three. The majority of those five people, then I got to believe maybe Bill's got to rethink something. Maybe I got to take it back and look at it again. Now, I might still come back and say, you know what, I really thought it over, and I really, mm-hmm. you need to do this. But I told a story of an executive session meeting that I had once many years ago, and I was really pushing for administrative salary increases because we really needed them at the time. We hadn't had them for a while, and we really needed to have salary increases. And after about 15 minutes, the board was pushing back, and finally the board president turned and looked at me, and he said, Bill, you've done a good job laying out this case. You've spent about 15 minutes on it, but as I look around this table, I see three people, three votes who don't support you. It's time to move on. And I just burst out laughing. I said, oh, Carrie, you're right. And so I moved on. It was like, come on, Bill, you're supposed to be counting to three just like we do. There's a majority. We're not buying it. So, you know, sometimes you just have to recognize when it's three. Move on. How about a scenario, number one, individual board member tells or asks the superintendent or administrator to get something done. What do you think the superintendent or administrator should do? And right along with it is that second one, or a board member asks the superintendent to do something and the superintendent says, no, I won't do it. Now, they wouldn't say it that way, of course. I'm just being real short. what should the board member do? You know, they'd probably say it nicely. You know, I don't think so because of such and such.
I'd go to the board president.
And
then ask him to either consult with the rest of the board or for find out what it is that, you know, whatever it was that has to be done, you want to make sure that the consensus of your board is that they want to get it, you know, that it's something that it's along the lines of what your board wants your superintendent to be doing. And I don't know what it is. I mean, if it's, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, if it's like, hey, I want you to print out a report for me. Right. I mean, that seems, you know, but if I'm asking you to go out and you know, if Sue goes to you and says, I want you to go do a survey of the community tomorrow and I want this, and this, I'm fairly certain you would say, well, no, and you would call me and say, Sue is asking for this, and then I would start that discussion with the board. Look, you know, this has come up, this is an issue, is this the direction, you know, is this something that we want the board to do, and I would tell you to, you know, why don't you wait, and we'll have a discussion as a board to make sure that's our direction and not Sue's, because she can be overbearing. And
and I think that's getting at the concept that's behind that kind of a scenario. And the concept is as individual board members, we're not really anybody's boss. We don't really tell people what to do. We can certainly ask people to do things, but we need to understand if they either say no or they disagree and decide they're just not going to do it. But what you always have as a board member on your side is that I can always turn to the board and ask the majority who has the authority, do you think we should have the superintendent do this? Because once all five of you, or three of you, say to the superintendent, we want you to do this, unless it's really against the person's principles or values or something, they're going to do it because then you've spoken as their boss about what needs to be done. So you always have that to fall back on. And you can, I think some of the response can even be to the person, okay, I understand why you're saying no, but I got to tell you, I feel so strong about this. I'm gonna bring this up to the whole board and see how the majority feels. And there, the superintendent will get that.
And truthfully, that's kind of opposite. They should go to the board and ask the board's idea about it first before they even approach the superintendent.
Yeah, but
that one-on-one scenario.
That just doesn't always happen.
I mean,
you're right, Amy. But
if an individual board member comes up to you, isn't that almost the same as if just somebody from the community came up?
Well, that's what I try to say to board members. I try to say, you know, look, I give special regard to the fact that you're an elected board member, because there's only five of you elected from this community. So I really give that regard. Mm-hmm. But that's as far as it goes. Your idea of what you want done is just like anybody else in the community saying to me, Bill, I think we need to, you need to be doing such and such. Okay, I'll give that some thought. I'll think that through, and you know, there may be some merit in this. I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'll give it some thought, and then I'll make a decision on it or something like that.
Now, is there? I mean, it's kind of hard because it's such a vague scenario, but
yeah, on purpose.
But it could be something simple and straightforward that, you know, most of us probably support. And Jeff, the board president, goes to Larry or whoever the superintendent is and says, hey, you know, this is something we'd like you, or I'd like you to do. And it's just one of those no-brainer things from a board's perspective.
Yeah.
Is that still something that we have to wait for a meeting to have a vote? Or
no, I don't think you do. And I think you do exactly what you said. The board president comes to the superintendent and says, look, I haven't talked to all the board members, and I'm not going to because we really shouldn't do it that way. So I haven't talked to all the board members, but I have a pretty strong feeling a majority of them are going to want to go along with this.
Yeah, and we do that. I do that a lot now.
And that's part of that communication. You try to keep going, and you keep building on between the team so that the team's always talking to each other, even about the stuff that you don't like. You know, I had a board once tell me, we don't want to micromanage the district. We got in the habit of doing that when we were hiring you because there was a void and we felt we had to fill the void. Because I think that happens a lot with school boards. They have to fill the void of leadership, and so they do. And they said, well, we don't want to do that. And so I was able to come in and just say to them, okay, you guys are doing a good job of this, but I got to tell you, if you start stepping back over that line again, I'm going to come and talk to you individually and tell you. Well, the onus is on me then. That you know, if you do step over the line, then I've got to have the courage to be able to call and say, can we sit down and talk? Because I want to talk to you about something. And then talk about, you know, remember what we said? You guys weren't going to step over here? Here's an incident that seems to me you've stepped over that line again. And if you're... I think becoming a cohesive school board and total governing team is being willing to have those conversations with each other.
I agree.
And just
I agree.
Respecting each other enough to have that conversation and not getting, we don't have to be mad about it.
Right.
It's just, I'm just trying to tell you honestly where I am with this thing.
It's one thing I liked about the military. Nobody held back.
They let you know when you cross that line, right?
They might do it a little more straightforward.
Right, right.
We try to put a little candy around it.
Sweeten it up.
Yeah, sweeten it up.
I will add one more thing to number one. And that's probably more for you two than anybody else. But even as a board member, you know, when you talk to a teacher, you talk to an administrator, you're always wearing your school board hat. You may not thought that you put it on when you left the house, but when
they see you,
you're always wearing it. So you need to be cognizant of that.
Thank you. That was why that first example was there, and it included an administrator, because everything we said was fine between board and superintendent. The administrators are different. They are not used to dealing with you. They're not used to pushing back on you. The superintendent is. The treasurer is. But they aren't. And when you come to one of them and you tell one of them you think they should do something, they think they need to do it.
Right.
And I would really suggest to you that you just really try to stay away from telling administrators. If you think the high school principal should do something, go talk to the superintendent, and then the superintendent will make a judgment. I think I agree with you. I think we do need to get at that, and then that makes it the principal's direct supervisor is talking to him or her about what needs to get done, needs to be done. I just think that's I'm really glad you brought that up. Okay, how about number two? The superintendent's recommendation seems like it's not been thought through enough. What should the board members do?
Ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go back to the drawing table.
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's also good to just nicely say, I think you have to go back on this. You know, and probably those would be the words that'll come out of probably the board president or somebody else. But as you're going through the discussion, it will become clear that a majority are not satisfied with the recommendation for some reason, either not satisfied with the information or something. And so if they're not satisfied, it's fine to just say, you know.
You just got to stop.
I mean,
you really do.
Get a little more information and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And there's nothing terribly wrong about that. You know, we all have those moments when, I probably should have had more. I never even thought of that information that you asked for.
I think really only becomes a problem if it's a repetitive kind of thing. You know, if every meeting you're you're pulling stuff off the table. I'm not saying we do that. I'm just saying that's when it would be a problem, I think.
I think it may also be a problem with your new superintendent, as the new superintendent is getting to know the district and getting to know process and procedure and everything else. Your new superintendent may not have answers as quickly for you as Larry, who's been here forever,
sure,
because he's got so much history, and when that new person comes in, your full person that's going to be here, one of the things I know they're going to try to do is to really find out historically where you've come from, what you've been doing, because they know that's going to be really important, and until they really get themselves fully up to snuff with all of that, they may have difficulty sometimes answering. You know, the deeper you dig with the questions, but once they are, they'll be able to respond to that, and or have staff here that can help them if they don't know the specifics themselves. They can't know all the specifics of everything that's going on in a building, all the curriculum work that's going on. They can't always know that, but they can always make sure that some staff are here that can answer when they don't know the. I don't know what your process has been in the past with your district, whether Larry has been the one that has responded to board questions, or whether Larry has also had other administrators here that sometimes help respond.
No, he typically responds. He'll go out and, you know, if you have.
Because he'll usually know.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'll either know or he'll go, you know, he'll do the fact finding, you know, and then he'll
come back.
Summarize that and bring it back to the board. That's, you know. It just works better that way, at least in my opinion. I mean, you don't want, you start to lose, you know, if Matt has a problem, you know, if there's a question for Matt at the high school, and then if I'm asking Matt questions or I'm asking Matt and Larry questions, it's always that, well, you know, I'm just not going to bother Larry this time. I'm just going to send that right off to Matt, and you lose your chain, your hierarchy there.
Yeah,
and so you always want to make sure, at least I, you know, and I think everybody else has. I mean, you always want to follow up with the superintendent.
Have you typically, with Larry, those of you that are the experienced board members, have you typically asked him questions before board meetings too? Giving him heads up before board meetings. Look, I'm gonna have questions on these three items.
I think that started happening more when we moved our meeting, because before we would get all our stuff on Friday and the meeting was on Monday.
Oh,
and
that'd be hard.
Know,
yeah,
it was really
hard. Yeah, and yeah. Then you know, then Monday would just be, you know, just an onslaught of questions. You know, but before that, and it just.
And I kind of gave up on the questions because I was too busy trying to get my head around everything
on
that Monday. Yeah.
So I think when we get our board materials, typically, you know, that's when the questions will start to rise. You know, they'll you know, send them to Larry, and typically it goes to everyone. You know, if you ask a question, you send it to Larry and the board, and he'll respond back. In kind, and Cindy as well. She answers our questions.
I don't know what your process has been. Would you be open to the process that I'm used to, which I think works really well, and that is that within the 2 days before the board meeting, I'm actually making individual contact with each of you and saying,
I'd be okay.
Did you have questions on the agenda? Is there anything on there that that I can fill in?
Truthfully, I'm kind of old school, so I appreciate that more than technology.
Well, it takes time, but I found it's sort of time well spent,
more
frankly.
I agree with that, and I like that, but I want to make sure that if I ask a question that maybe someone else hasn't thought of, you know, and you give me a great response, everybody else gets to hear that response. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm whip smart, so I might, you know, I might ask.
Sure.
It's a fantastic question.
Are you allowed to email everybody at once and copy everything?
As long as you don't have discussion.
Right.
So I'm saying, I'm saying Larry
right.
a question.
Right.
And
you
Larry's,
can inform, you can't discuss.
And Larry's talking about to me now. If you pipe in and say, well, I don't agree with that, or I'm going to vote no, okay, well, we.
I am pretty bossy.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. But you're allowed to ask questions of mm-hmm. Bill. And if I can ask and he comes back, you can ask another question, mm-hmm. as long as we're not, you know, you're
right.
not.
I like the idea of the phone call. I mean,
oh, absolutely,
try it out, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
No, I'm okay. Yeah. With that. I just want to make sure we don't, you know, we don't lose some of the
right.
some mm-hmm. of the knowledge. You know,
do you also have the ability to contact all five board members
at the same time? Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So we have the.
Yeah.
They have mailboxes or something, phone
mm-hmm.
mailboxes.
Yes.
So I can leave a message.
Oh, for the phone, not
email.
Email.
Yeah,
just I was about
email.
To say,
yeah.
Like, wow,
no,
really?
Not phones, just email.
Because I think sometimes some of the emergency stuff is really nice if you have phone, too. Now, board would never check phone because you would have no reason to. But what I've seen people do is have a, I can make one message. We had an incident at the high school today. I can make one message.
I think we
all
can do
five
that.
People
yeah,
hear
that.
The exact same words about the message.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you know to even dial in to get the message is that you get an email that says you have a message.
Actually, we can do that with
yeah.
our notification system. You
yeah.
probably send
yeah.
out a text
yeah.
message and an email.
I mean, yeah, I'm already
nice.
Getting them because I still have a son in school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you can do
you
that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have
a phone
system.
Okay. Are you talking about something specific, like for the, like a distribution you can set up with the system? Just
for just the board,
yeah.
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 So it would be different than what you're already getting.
Well, I'm just saying we have the technology
right.
that
yeah.
we could do it, so yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But also allows you the possibility, if you ever have some board president
okay.
or even an individual board member,
mm-hmm.
I have something that I really would like to have all five of you just think about before the board meeting. And I just
okay.
want to say it to you, and I want you all to hear it exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You can
that's
do that.
Sweet.
Cool. And that can
that
be
would
nice
be cool.
for just communicating, but not having
right.
discussion,
no,
not
yeah.
making
yeah.
decisions
yeah, no
or
response.
Anything like
no.
that, but at least communicating with each
mm-hmm.
other. Okay. Well, that's good.
That's
I
a great idea.
Wondered
yeah.
if you had that.
We can look into it.
Yeah. I can't imagine why yeah. we couldn't do it.
And number three, just real quickly, we've sort of talked to that, but the one I want to point out is the second bullet. What do you think a board member should say to parents?
I think you should feed them the correct protocol that they need to be in contact with the superintendent and
well,
express their concerns.
I mean, if I'll use an example, you know, well, a vague example. Johnny's mom comes and says, hey, you know, my teacher's, you know, the teacher I've got is, you know, saying bad things to my kid or whatever. I mean, typically what I would do is say, look, have you talked to the principal?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you, I would
good.
Ask you to,
good.
Before you bring that all the way up to the top, you know, what have you done? You talked to the teacher?
Mm-hmm.
I advise you go talk to the principal, you know, and if that doesn't work, you know, then you need to talk to the superintendent. You know, I'll be here, you know, if that doesn't work for you, ask me and I'll bring it forward to the superintendent so he's aware, and then I'll ask him to follow up with me to let him know that just that he was aware of it and that was working. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right response or
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is an administrator, so
right.
you would have to go directly to the superintendent, right?
I don't know. I mean, it all depends. I mean, you always ask them first, hey, who have you talked to? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've gone from the, you know, you've now contacted me as a board member, but really there's you know, you want to go to the lowest level that you can solve
right.
that problem first.
Mm-hmm.
So go to the teacher, go to the principal, go to the counselor, go, you know.
And what you're doing is what we do a lot of times administratively, you're teaching the community.
Yeah.
You're teaching them. This is process. This is how we do these things within this large organization. And there's good reason for those processes because of what you just said, that you're closest to the issue that can be solved best there you know, all of that stuff.
Right, because if you take it to the superintendent, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to go start right back at the bottom. So,
well, see, what I did, I read that wrong. I'm looking at it as an administrator, as a principal.
Oh, well, it can be, you know.
Well, it could be that, too.
Then they would go directly. In order to go beyond that, they would have to go to the superintendent. Right,
right. But and I always want to make sure, you know, look, I hear what you're saying, and I'd like to know how that resolved itself. I mean, you know what I mean? You always want to make sure that the problem gets resolved,
right.
Or at least that you're getting some kind of resolution to it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to.
I
mean, you just don't want to leave them hanging out to say, well, you know, go talk to the principal.
Right.
You know, that's not.
Right.
We've had a few of those incidences over the last several months.
Yes, we have. And
you saw it work its way through the chain of command and come to resolution.
Yep.
And there's sometimes when they come to the board, they keep the board. Larry's very good about keeping the board, you know, following back up and saying, "Hey, here's what happens." So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really important when you enter into a new case of that kind of thing to recall some of those successes and reassure the community.
Yeah.
This is the process, and I can tell you, I've seen it work. I've seen it work 4 times this year. It really worked out well. It all got taken care of.
And that's exactly what happened for me, even as a board member, just to see how, because I think it was handled in some of the earlier ones in the year. I don't know. It was kind of like a little bit of a mess in how the communication handled. But when we saw it effectively work, it was easy for me to say, you know, here's how you should handle it. And, you know,
I agree.
That last one, I don't know if there's any real issue there. You know, you do understand that the system's built that way, so that it's really okay if somebody wants to vote no all the time. I mean, they can vote no, and it's really okay for you to govern 4-1.
Right.
In fact, the system was built. That's what I keep trying to remind boards of. Don't feel bad about that at all. The system's built for that. Because our communities are so diverse, it has to be set up like that. So,
and I think you're ultimately accountable to your, you know, to your community. So if you're, you know, if you're voting no all the time, just to vote no. Yeah, I mean, I mean, you know, that the water finds its own level at some point. You know what I mean? So,
and I don't think we have that problem.
No, I would just say, you know, that through the long run, that'll work itself out.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
It's 7:30. I don't know where you want to go. We can go on a little bit to effective boards. What I was going to show you, what I was going to show you with effective boards was basically the right side, and there, it's just these are a couple of different studies. One of them's some of the items from this first one are taken from that Lighthouse study that you read about in here from Iowa, and that's been an important study, and it's an ongoing one, and they really have laid out, and I thought you might just like to see, okay, according to some research that's done, what do effective boards look like? Well, they do these things. They commit to a vision of high expectations for student achievement, quality instruction, and define clear goals toward that vision. You know, they really set the higher expectations. The board and or superintendent do that and do that in cooperation with staff. And then you've got the rest of them there. I can let you just read those if you want. There's a number of them. And then the second page was just the more simplified version of Smoley's model for school board effectiveness. Smoley says there are basically 6 things that effective boards do. They make decisions that are rational and that are informed by data and also informed by full discussion. So they do that deliberative kind of action that I would argue inspires community confidence. Number 2, they exhibit characteristics of well-functioning groups. They have a feeling of cohesiveness and a sharing of goals and values. They really are trying to get the same things done for the school system. The big goals, they're all on board with. They really think, yeah, that's what we need to do. And the values that they want to come out of their school system, generally speaking, they're all in agreement with. They, you know, and that's not as hard as it seems. most of us have the same basic common core values of we want honesty. We want people to be fair. We just there are so many basic things we really do believe in that we sort of tend to shy away from talking about or saying that's what we want because we're not sure everybody believes in them. Well, almost everybody does when you're around a table. So they exhibit that. And part of their characteristics, notice in that number two, is that they operate with norms. And I would argue with you that some of the very best even have identified their norms and not their rubrics, but their...
happens to me all the time.
It's not coming back, sorry. It's gone. It will eventually. Number three, board members exercise their authority discreetly and stand firm when they must. And that, I think, means they stand firm with community when they must. They stand firm with superintendent when they must. But they do it discreetly. And they're very careful about it. But they do exercise their authority when necessary. And at times they overrule the superintendent. Number four, board members connect with the community informally as well as with some formal processes. And they really, they understand the value of that. That's one of the things that's important for the board to give to the school district. Number five, that the boards work towards self-improvement, that they assist new staff, new members, that they reflect on their responsibilities, that they seek assistance when they need it. This one, I think, is so interesting because so many boards literally expect their staff, their superintendent, their administrators to continually be improving. They expect their superintendent to be a better superintendent this year than you were last year. You expect teachers to be better teachers this year than they were last year, that they just keep getting better at it. And we do a lot of professional development in school districts so that we try to encourage that and try to make that happen. One of the places where we do almost no professional development is with the school board. And I argue with boards that you need to lead by example and you need to let people see that you're setting aside time. And it doesn't have to be every meeting, but it can be every, two times a year, even that, or three times a year, that you're setting aside time. Just like, I thought it was great the way you announced that tonight, Jeff, for anybody that would have been listening. There wasn't. but just announcing that.
Amy's
okay,
listening.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's just media. Okay. But it's just that idea that we are going to go into some professional development for ourselves. We want to get better at what we do. Boy, that's really great for the staff to see you. I'd make sure that got into any minutes or something so that staff saw it, that the board's doing this too. They're trying to grow just like we're expecting you to grow every year. And then the number six, the board actions are strategic, matching long-term plans with immediate actions, focusing on results and adjusting to new situations. Smoley, this is just a real brief kind of outline of that, of his whole model, but he's developed the model and online, you can look up Smoley's model for effective school boards, and they even have ways to rate school boards, where you can a board can even pull off some of those things and say, well, let's rate ourselves. Let's see how do we think we are at these things when you fully understand it. And you can either do that individually or you can do that as a board or you can do it as an exercise. But he spent some real time with this, and it's a I think it's pretty good stuff.
Would that be a good benchmark for us?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, it's one. It's just one. I mean, the reason I showed you this one is because it wasn't spoken of in the book, and I wanted you to see this one too because it included some of the Lighthouse District research that is spoken of in the book. In the book, she speaks of some other things. She's got some others that she lists of the five main things that school boards should do, and all of these different suggested lists or things that effective boards do are based on research. They're just all kinds of different research. And I think you can pick on any one of them that really strikes your fancy and say, hey, why don't we zero in on this one and sort of do something with this one? It could be the lighthouse one. It could be digging into this more.
Right.
You'd want.
I mean, it seems like there's a tool. I mean, there's a tool out there that you could easily, fairly easily just rate yourself and kind of set mm-hmm. a baseline. You know, I mean, like we do for everybody else in the district, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they all have mm-hmm. baselines, and then mm-hmm. we expect them on their growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do we know our own growth if we don't actually set a baseline mm-hmm. to see where we're starting from?
Well, and what, again, I've seen boards do that kind of thing of examining themselves and trying to measure how are we doing at the same time when they measure the treasurer and the superintendent. That now it's that time of year for treasurer and superintendent. Now we add on, how about us? And so we start talking about how we're functioning. I've seen other boards take it at a different time of year because that's such a busy time. To you're already doing those two, and so they say, well, let's do ours, but let's do ours maybe this time of year as opposed to in August or something. Mm-hmm. But the important thing I think is on the growth. Is to give yourselves opportunities for as many opportunities as you can afford and that you have time for professional growth. Find some people that do a good job for you and then have them do that, but do more than just one session. If all we do is do what we did tonight or do what you did when you went to OSBA, you won't necessarily get any better. You might, but you probably won't. What we've learned over the years with teachers and administrators is we need to have ongoing kinds of professional development because they're reminders for us. And then the second thing that you need to have besides, and I think the best school boards are doing this, is we want ongoing professional development as much as we've got time for, but we also want to monitor how are we doing. And boards do that all the way from they just monitor themselves and say how they're doing. They fill out stuff and say, how do we think we're doing? They do it with their whole governance team. They ask the superintendent and treasurer, who the board's evaluating, they ask them, how do you think we're doing? And so they give input to the board about how they think the board's doing. And then I've also seen some where they ask outside consultants to regularly sit in on board meetings and watch the board and then respond to the board about how I think you're doing, how you're doing with this. One of them, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Columbus Public, and I think they're still doing this, Columbus City, they brought in 10, I think it was about 10 business leaders from the community. And they schooled the business leaders in the governance protocols that the board had committed to operating under, how they were going to behave with each other, how they were going to behave in meetings and blah, blah, blah. And then they asked them one or two at a time to come to board meetings, observe the board, and before the board meeting was over, in the public session, tell us how we did.
Wow.
You know, that's somebody who's serious about mm-hmm. We want to get better at this. Mm-hmm. If you're really willing to do that, so and I think they started that a number of years ago, and it really turned that board around. Now, Gene Harris would tell you now they're starting to struggle again, not back to the days when the loss came with the fatigues. Not back to those days yet, but they're struggling a little bit more. So people are doing it all sorts of different ways, but the I think the consistency is the really excellent boards that are continuing to improve are having regular professional development, and they're talking about ways to monitor how are we doing. Mm-hmm. And the word I was looking for was protocols.
Right.
If we have some protocols, and I I don't think I included it with you, but I brought it with me. I've got an example of some written protocols that a board did, a board in this area, in fact, did with OSBA, and wrote out about
it. We did that in High Point. We didn't write them out, but it was kind of neat. They said not only have protocols, but go through like these mock scenarios as a board and say, here's the situation. You're in a restaurant. You know, mm-hmm. and somebody comes up to you and asks you this. How do you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't real easy situations. They were ones where you really had to dig deep and figure, you know,
yes.
make sure you had the protocol.
I mean, I think that's something that we need to develop.
Well, let me just leave an example of it then with you. This doesn't have the board's name in it. It is a local board. It was done, the original was done by OSBA, and then this particular board asked me to come out and help them because they never finished it. They never really adopted it and started to live by it. And you know why? Because one board member wouldn't agree. What should they have done?
Majority move forward.
Move on.
Majority has the authority.
Mm-hmm.
They should have 4-1 decided these are our protocols. This is how we're going to behave. And they never did that. Now, this particular board also wanted their board members to actually sign it. I've never seen anybody do that before. But I just leave it with you as you want to copy it.
Yeah, honestly, I think this is something I would like to move towards in the very near future for ourselves.
I'm sorry.
What's the best way to go about building one of these for ourselves? Do we need to bring in OSBA to help us sit down with that? Is that something we can develop? I mean, how did you guys do it at High Point?
We didn't
or was it already
protocols.
There?
It was a presentation where they were talking about, you know, the need for protocols, and they talked about how they just would do these work sessions where they would talk about, and it was just somebody explaining to us the process. We didn't actually do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it goes back to, you know, that inspiring confidence. I think if, you
mm-hmm.
know, if
mm-hmm.
you know, if the community knows that, you know, look, we've all agreed as a board, this is how we're going to operate.
Right.
You know, no matter what comes up, you know, we're going to follow this. We may agree to disagree, but we're not going to make it personal. You know, when we leave out of here, we're going to
mm-hmm.
agree that, you know, this is what the board wanted to do, and I support it because that's what the board wanted to do, you know. And I'm not going to say, you know, Sue was just bat crazy that night, and, you know, we're not just going to do that. You know what I mean? And those kind of protocols, and we're going to, you know, we're not going to, no surprise. I know that no surprises is on the top of that. That's my mantra, no surprises.
Right.
But so how do we go about
and
developing
it's
one
nice
of those?
It's nice and useful when you have two new people come on.
Exactly.
Right.
And you can share, look, this is how we've been operating. This is how we'd like to operate with you, too. We'd like to do the same thing.
Right.
Why can't we use this as kind of a...
Well, I
think
that's
we
what I think. I think
yeah.
it's really pretty simple stuff. I mean, I left OSBA on there because, frankly, I wanted
right.
to give credit where credit's
sure.
due. But
sure.
but I don't know why you couldn't say, okay, do any of these make sense for us? Are there things here that we don't particularly want? Are there some things we'd like to add into this? You know, and all you'd need to have is take... You could look at those, you could study them, you could then just set aside 15 minutes in a board meeting sometimes and say, okay, we've got 15 minutes we want to dedicate to this,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to quickly react. I want to start with, what do you think is in here that we really do like and we'd like to be part of our protocols, and then maybe come in with another list of what do you think needs to be added to this. And we'll get as far as we can get in 15 minutes, and then at the next meeting we'll take 15 more minutes. I mean, you could do that kind of stuff if you wanted, if you didn't. Or you could bring in somebody like from OSBA and have them do a work session with you on doing it, too, and
sure.
you could knock it all out at once.
But I think if this is if this came kind of from the OSBA, I think you're going to pay for something that's already developed.
That's what I'm saying. I think we can have that discussion.
I don't know if that was their rough draft. I think that was what they ended up with this district when they walked through all of it.
I think we can do it.
I'm fairly certain I would rather give that a shot on our own.
Because
I think it's more of a local, it's kind of your, you know,
Right. And this gives you a lot of good
stuff.
Ideas right here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things I would add to this.
It's not brain surgery.
No.
It's
right.
pretty straightforward stuff that you would, like,
common sense
you
right.
came up with anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, we had a presentation on board governance, you know, and so we have some names there, too. So, Mm-hmm. Could even call up and say, hey, do you guys have any
samples of protocols?
You know, a variety of them.
Of operational
protocols.
Because
every school district is different. Yep. And so you might pull things from.
I can tell you, I was reading the one, there's one from Pennsylvania in here. Mm-hmm. And I went and, you know, I just kind of went around and Googled a little bit.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can
right.
get them. You can get them anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the good, you know, I mean, all you have to do is look up the boards that they, you know, the districts that they talk about in here, and
right.
every one of them's got them on their website, so.
Okay.
And sometimes you can either do it all yourselves, or you can
right.
just say, look, why don't we, for this 15 minutes, ask
yeah.
so-and-so to facilitate it.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a facilitator in the district or something that could do that, you know, mm-hmm. so that everybody on the board can stay involved. You know, if you got one of you trying to facilitate it, you don't
mm-hmm.
always get to stay involved when you're doing that. It's just hard.
No matter, man.
Or take one of those at a time, just one
yeah.
section
yeah.
at a time, and add, you know, add or delete, do both.
We can. Or we can say, our, you know, hey, we got 15 minutes, let's get as far
yeah.
as we can.
I think
yeah.
we should
right.
do that, and like, start
yeah.
at the next.
Yeah, I think at our January meeting.
Yeah, everybody
cool.
take a look at the list. All right.
You wouldn't happen to have that in electronic
like
format, would
mm-hmm.
you? Or I'm not going to have to ask Tracy to type in because she's like,
I think I do have it in electronic.
Can you possibly email that?
That's how it was sent to me.
Because I know she'll type
when
it.
I help
she loves typing stuff. She asks for stuff to type. Just send me some, I'll type it. So, but no, I think for us that's a good first step for us moving
yes.
forward. You know, just you know, we have to kind of set how we want to operate,
right.
and it's you know at that point it's easier when someone comes up with a question. Well, hey, how did you do this or how did you do that or, you know, you can say, look, this is how you know we followed our protocols and this is
mm-hmm.
how we solve our problems.
It's probably a great time because 40%
mm-hmm.
of the board is new.
Yes.
It's
right.
probably
yeah.
a really
you,
good time.
You realize I have more time on this board than all four of you combined.
You did that now?
You are the senior advisor.
Oh, well, holy cow. I
well,
thought about
being on the board one day.
Yeah.
not even
no.
one day.
That's
you know,
true.
Just a few hours.
Few hours, right?
You know, my only other comment is just getting when you talk about inspiring confidence in the community, and you know, I was talking to my dad last night and just telling him about the weekend and the training. He's like, man, you got to make sure that gets in the paper. Your community
mm-hmm.
needs to know that you guys went to training. And I know when we went to the board candidate workshop, OSBA provided a press release.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to the paper, and it was in the paper, you know. But just, you know, letting
I
people know that we went
to
training before we got, you know, sworn in. But then also just, you know, some of the plans already.
Well,
because I think, you know, I mean, I think the community
mm-hmm.
is looking for, you know, they want results. I mean, you know, you
well,
see people, okay, guys, I'm ready for something to happen. Well,
one of the things in this book was a monthly board newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
great
and
idea.
If that was something just that simple that you could put on the district website of just, you know,
right.
blurbs of what, you know, what's happened over the past month. But
right.
sometimes it isn't necessarily going to be a lot, but at least the information is there for people
mm-hmm.
to see.
And really neat stuff, make sure it gets in the paper, you know, so that the community, if they don't go to the board site, once it gets the paper, we'll at least see.
Yeah, would the paper put stuff like that in?
Such as what?
Attendance at seminars for,
like,
you know,
professional
training.
Development,
yeah.
training, you know, board training. Like this, obviously, you're here, so
yeah,
you'll be writing about it.
I know.
I know. Oh,
I
get on tape, man.
I thought about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
I even understand that.
That
I'm new.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the goals that I would like to talk to the new members to kind of, and that could be part of, you know, what we talk about is what kind of what prepared you for what you're doing, and then
okay.
Well, that'd
you know,
be good.
Go
right.
back and ask, you know, what else the other members have done to prepare. So I think if a reporter is really exploring the story, they'll find those things.
Right.
They'll put the pertinent information.
Here's
it,
a. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, can we submit articles, too? Is that a problem, or what's your protocol for
yeah.
that kind of
No, you can't. I mean, the newspaper just this weekend published Larry's, you know, his
right,
letter.
About
Oh, Superintendent's
right.
Corner?
Yeah.
The volunteering.
They published
right.
it, which I don't know if they do that very often, but they did this weekend.
Okay.
And, it, you know, it's a news flow thing.
Depending on how much space
yeah,
you have.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I think we've kind of kind of tackled mm-hmm. that a little bit before, is we can't always count on the newspaper to get our message out. So we have to find mm-hmm. different and more creative ways. You know, I'm sure if we sent press releases once a week to the newspaper about what the board is doing, they'd get sick of them in about a week.
Well, they need to consider taking them, because you know what? That's going to keep alive a lot of the newspapers, because of all the now being able to get it over the internet and everything else. You know, a hard paper newspaper, you know, still needs to have.
Right. Well, space is money for newspapers. So yeah, I mean, there's right. a cost.
But local information is a little more interesting than hearing about.
I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying, you know.
Right, I understand.
I don't want to. No offense to our friends in the media, but
right.
but I'm a little hesitant to put all of my eggs in that particular basket.
Well, maybe
because
not
I've
weekly,
seen how that because I've seen how that works in the past, and
right.
so, you know, I've had an egg broken here and there, and I want to make sure that,
right.
you know, that I'm controlling that. So,
so yeah. website,
I
you know, on the website is a great way to start.
We have no blogs here in our district, like if you don't like something. I mean, like teachers, I'd be fine.
Some teachers, some of our teachers, they used to. I don't
we
know
don't have
if they
administrator
still do.
Blog or anything like that.
No.
I don't know. I'm not suggesting that we do. I just, that seems to be, like Kim Davis did that out at High Point,
yeah.
and it was nice because I would, subscribe to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But the monthly newsletter, really, all you have to do is kind of get the message out that there
right.
is a monthly newsletter
right.
there, and then you're driving that traffic
right.
to you.
Yeah. That can be an article in the paper.
Well,
check out
yeah.
the school
right.
website.
Exactly. Now,
for the
now there you
newsletter.
Go. Now, see, now that's,
right.
you know, that's
right.
kind of interesting. I don't necessarily think they want to be in the business of publishing our newsletter every week.
Right.
Or
maybe
monthly.
The first one to announce
exactly.
it. And then
exactly.
Say, you know,
so
someone
out.
Also has to have their time. Energy to
right.
To
it sounded like Tracy was
it.
Volunteering for that.
Even
well,
when you got the idea.
Once you do it, you guess. Can't commit to it.
I right. If
yeah.
you don't keep it
I'm
up.
I'm glad
yeah.
that you put my chair down here on the bottom because it's right
yeah.
there.
Exactly.
Closest one. I'm glad you put me over here by myself.
It seems like the newest board members should be in charge of those.
And they have to buy the
that one right there.
Her last name is after mine, so she can after me.
She was, yeah, I came after. Her, so
it's like twins, you know. I was born first, and you were born second.
So yeah, I think
yeah.
that's really becomes the issue is you know who's got the time
yeah.
to
right.
consistently
right.
write
the
it.
Reality.
And
well, that's the thing I was thinking about in all this. There's so much good input as to how we can improve.
Right.
And it goes back to that whole TQM thing. You improve incrementally, a little
yes.
at a time, and just keep
right.
going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point,
right.
you got to prioritize what's most important.
So you know, it may be
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be a bi-yearly, then maybe a
quarterly,
and then a, you know, so, I mean, you can't just start, I mean, it'd be nice to start, boom, we're going to do it every month, but
right.
again, you know, you do not want me writing your newsletter, because I promise
well,
you.
Well, and I'm not talking like some five-page publication.
I know.
Yeah.
It can be a,
and
even a one
don't want
to
read
point.
A five-page,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know,
yeah.
I mean.
They just want to be updated quickly.
Yeah.
If
a few columns.
Read it.
Yeah.
Oh, and
if it's too long, they won't read it.
Doing this presentation.
Yeah.
Oh, they did, the, you know, just kind
right.
of.
Right.
And you also don't want to.
Working on this project.
You don't want it to get boring either. I mean, if
right.
you know, if it's so
short and sweet,
right.
like what we're doing now, developing
mm-hmm.
our board.
Mm-hmm.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and we'll talk about that at our
cool.
Actually,
okay.
that'll probably come out at our January meeting when we have to sit down and spend some time on it.
Right.
So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about hey, you know, we spent some time at this meeting, you know, talking about how we become a more effective board. This is one of the activities that has fallen out of that. And,
right.
You know, and that way the official paper will pick up that story. And I kid. I kid. So, I didn't have anything else for tonight, but I that was an excellent
thank
presentation.
You.
I think that,
thank
that helps
you.
Out.
Yes,
thank
you very,
you.
Much.
Very much. So,
it is kind of cool that we'll be able to now start working with you.
Actually, you know, that is kind of
yeah.
cool, to be
yeah.
honest with you.
That's
yeah. However awkward it may
very
have started.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I like it.
So. All right, well, then I move we adjourn.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Meade.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
All right, we are adjourned at 8:03.